So I guess this is the official Thanksgiving edition of the Passion Podcast. So if no one has wished you a happy Thanksgiving already, let us be the first ones to do so today and say happy Thanksgiving. I hope that you are on your way home from class, from school, from work, headed to see family, maybe headed to grandma's house or to the relatives. Maybe there's a fried turkey at the end of your journey. I hope so, or a honey-baked ham, or your mom's sweet potato souffle with the little marshmallows on top that are, you know, nice and brown. But happy Thanksgiving. And we want to give a shout out to the pilgrims who made this possible. Thank you. Thank you to them. And thank you to the people who made this holiday a reality. And in all seriousness, I mean, you know, we are blessed. All of us are blessed amazingly. And even those of us who are going through really hard times in this particular weekend, and I've got friends, close friends, who are coming into the holiday season for the first time without people that they love sitting at the table and enjoying those moments with them. And even through the darkness and even in the midst of the hardship, we all have so much to be thankful for. We're such a blessed people. We're some of the few people on the planet that are going to have the kind of abundance and the plenty that we have in this holiday weekend. And so I hope you're having a great one. I don't know if you're in the car on the way home from school, if you've cut class, if you've finished class, if you're on the way to grandma's house. I don't know where you're listening to this right now, but welcome to the official Thanksgiving edition of the Passion Podcast. I'm excited. We're going to do Thanksgiving here in Atlanta, a little bit low-key, chilling out with the family, and that sounds pretty good after the ride we've been on for the last couple of weeks. It started right after the Chicago podcast, our last podcast that you heard. Shelley and I took off for Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a lovely place, I want to add. If you're listening from Tulsa, what a fantastic place that is. And we went out to catch up with the Remedy Tour with the Crowders, because it was going to be, other than the Tabernacle this past Friday night, the only night I got to be there. And I wanted to experience this tour in full. So we headed out to Tulsa to Kane's Ballroom, which is a great night. And it's a little interview from Crowder after that night coming in a few minutes on the podcast. But headed out to Tulsa, left Tulsa after that Friday night on Saturday to fly to California. I was going to be speaking in California. Actually, I did speak in California that following Sunday at a really amazing church out there, Rock Harbor. Great friends of ours at that church. And just having a chance to partner with them for the LA Regional and be a part of what God's doing there. They have two services on Sunday night, really, really encouraging, 7 and 9 o'clock. I mean, who's going to have a 9 o'clock Sunday night service? You're thinking, who comes to that? Well, I'll tell you, it is jammed wall to wall with mostly college-aged people from all over the Orange County area, and 7 and the 9 both, just full-on college students, young adults, and two great services. So we had a great night there, had a day off Monday. And days off, I'm telling you, they're few and far between around here lately, and it was just a day for Shelley and me to chill out in one of our favorite places in the world. And then I was going to fly to Tucson, Arizona on Tuesday night and start the How Great Is Our God tour, 13 cities that we were going to do adding on to this tour. And so Monday, we're chilling out, we're at the pool, we're at the hotel, and voila, Jonathan, I don't know, I have never experienced anything like it in my life. But I think some of you know I had a kidney stone. It doesn't run in my family. I wasn't expecting it. Didn't know what to look for. And my goodness, I just say to all of you who have had kidney stones, my deepest sympathies. I knew it was bad. I've had really close friends talk about it. I've got great friends in Raleigh. A friend of mine's dad has them all the time, and he's talked about how bad it was. And I thought, I know it sounds horrible, and my heart goes out to you, but it was like a lot of things in life. I didn't know it was that horrible, and now my heart goes way, way out to any of you kidney stone people out there. This was my first one. I'm praying my last one, but a little ways into it, I was screaming and yelling and shouting and shaking and throwing up in pain, and Shelley is on the phone with our doctor back here in Atlanta, and he's saying, you got to get Louie to the emergency room right now. So long story short, thank you to the people at Hogue Memorial, a very fine hospital in Orange County. They put an IV in me, and the last thing I remember the guy saying is that we got to take a CAT scan of you, but before we do, we've got to get you a little more comfortable. And I thought that's what I wanted to hear right there. And so they shot me full of something, and before long, they found out it was a kidney stone, and 24 hours later, everything had resolved, is I guess the best way of saying it, and they let me go from the hospital. And so Tuesday night, Tucson, Arizona. I'm sorry to the people of Tucson, but I heard it was one of the greatest nights on the tour. And I said to Tomlin, because we have How Great Is Our God, obviously, on DVD. So they just showed the talk on DVD. And he said, you're not going to believe it. People were laughing. They were into it. He said, I think some of them actually kind of at some point forgot that you weren't there and kind of thought that you were up there. And we sold more DVDs that night than we've ever sold on any night on the tour. I said, well, that's because people knew that we had one. And it went so well, I said, well, I'd be happy to head on back to Atlanta and just let you show the DVD for the rest of the tour. And he's like, no, I don't think that's what we're going to do. So we had another day off on Wednesday, which was fantastic. I recovered a little bit, Shelly and I both, because Shelly went through it too. She was freaking out because I was in such a bad way. And so Wednesday, we kind of laid low, caught up with the tour in San Diego on Thursday. And then, man, we got going. It was San Diego Thursday, Santa Barbara on Friday, Fresno Saturday, Sacramento Sunday, and Salt Lake City on Monday. It was five straight nights of just going for it. And at the end of it, I thought, I'm going to die. It's a pretty intense thing to live on a tour bus and do five straight nights of a tour when you feel great. But coming out of what I'd been through, it wasn't too great at all. So long story short, we got to Colorado. We had 2 days off, went up to Aspen, which is a lovely place, and kind of came down from the mountains for the Denver night, almost feeling 100% and close to that now. So thank you guys so much. Many, 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 many people told me they were praying for me, sent me messages, and I really have never appreciated it more. And I never have been more excited about getting to the end of a long run. And I know everybody's busy and everybody's got a lot of stuff. We're not the only busy people in the world. But we were so excited to make it to this weekend. And we finished our tour on Thursday night in Johnson City, Tennessee. That's a lovely Tri-Cities area of East Tennessee. If you haven't been up there, that's Kingsport, Johnson City, and Bristol, Tennessee. And to be really, really honest, and I think I said this that night up there, but I'd never been to any of the Tri-Cities before, and I didn't know what to expect. And I thought, man, this could go either way, Jonathan. We got one last night on the How Great Is Our God tour. We did 35 cities in the spring, 13 more in the fall. So 48 cities. We're ending it right here in Johnson City, Tennessee. And it was incredible. That's all I can say about it. I did not know what to expect, but the people came. They were hungry for God. They were into the night from the beginning. They were really into the talk. They were responsive. You could tell that God's spirit was in the place, and it was just a really great ending. So that was Thursday night, and we busted down to Atlanta to get here in time for Crowder's finale at the Tabernacle on Friday night, which was just out of this world. I mean, what a great venue. I'm old enough to remember when I had friends that went to that church. It used to be called Tabernacle Baptist Church. House of Blues bought it around the Olympics and did some events in there in the late 90s. And then I think Live Nation owns it now and turned it into the Tabernacle a while back. And it was jammed, I mean, to the roof, 2,700 people, myriad Phil Wickham, and then Crowder just blew the place up. And it was a really, really, really fun night. So that was the end of the Remedy Tour, How Great Tour ended. And then we were all going to play at Youth Specialties, which is, if you don't know, it's a big kind of a national youth worker training thing that happens every year in a couple of different cities across America. And I was going to speak Saturday night with Chris playing, and then I think Crowder's played there on Sunday. And so this is the way life works right here. Here's a picture of life, right? So I am barely walking by Friday. So we do the Crowder night. It's a late night. It's late midnight past after we get back to our hotel. Saturday, kind of getting ready for my talk and on my way to go give the talk Saturday night at Youth Specialties. We're back at the Georgia World Congress Center in that same space where we had our overflow for passion. And I'm in the shower about 6 o'clock getting ready to go over there. My phone rings and it's my pastor, Andy. And I come out and see that Andy called and it's gone to voicemail. And one thing you learn is that you don't want your pastor to call you on a Saturday night, because that only means that something has gone wrong and they need for you to speak on Sunday morning. And if you want to speak on Sunday morning, that's great. But if you're busy and you've just done 3 weeks of a tour and you've been in the hospital with a kidney stone and you barely survived to Friday night, you're really not wanting to do three services on Sunday. So I listened to the voicemail and Andy is hilarious. He says, yeah, I wouldn't answer any calls from me on Saturday night either, so I totally understand that you didn't pick up. But I'm not calling you about preaching for me tomorrow. I'm calling to talk to you about something else, and I just wanted to let you know about blah, 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 and let's get together when you have some time. And so I thought, okay, cool, that makes me feel great. So we go to Youth Specialties. The session's late. I don't think I finished speaking till like 10 o'clock. talked to about 100 people. So now it's 11 o'clock and I'm standing there and a guy walks up to me who works for a really close friend of Andy's and I, and a guy named Lanny. And so he's just gotten off the phone with Lanny and he's standing there after the 100th person in the line. And he says, "I just talked to Lanny and he's at the emergency room with Andy and Sandra." That's Andy's wife. And apparently they thought Sandra had appendicitis or something and they need you to speak tomorrow. I said, "No, you're kidding me. That's funny. But you're not going to punk me not at 11 o'clock, not tonight. That's really funny though. Ha ha, bye." He said, "No, I'm serious. Lanny's at the emergency room. He only has 8 minutes left on his cell phone battery and he needs you to call him. And can you speak tomorrow?" And I just looked at him and I said, "No." "No, you would be better off getting one of the technicians at the emergency room to speak tomorrow for me to speak tomorrow, because I'm tapped out." So I called Lanny back and I said, "Lanny, I just got off a tour bus. My brain is fried. I am fried, and let's try somebody else." And so they got a great guy from, actually was in town for you specially to speak. It was fantastic. Sandra, I think, is going to be okay. Everything worked out, Jonathan, is the moral of the story there. And so here we are heading into Thanksgiving and excited about life. So I just want to encourage you in that, though, because I'm making light of some of that, but the Hoag Memorial thing wasn't light at all. In fact, it was the worst thing I've ever been through physically by a factor of about 10. And the tour was a struggle for us. Crowder was in the hospital in Boston. Most of you probably don't know that, and it wasn't a big deal, but had to get a little boost because he was starting to lose his voice. And one of our drivers had a medical situation, a few other things that were just, you know, the whole time out we're feeling like, man, we're trying to serve you, God. We're giving everything we've got. We're basically laying on the line out here and crossing this nation back and forth, and it's not easy. And I know some of you feel that way, and you think, well, everything works out for all you Passion guys, and everything always works out for you guys, and y'all's lives sound so great, and you're always going doing all these cool things. But you just need to know behind the scenes, it doesn't always work out. It's not always easy. In fact, it's hardly ever easy. In fact, the opposite is true. Most of the time, it's really, really challenging. And that's because we're serving God. And I'm not one of those people that believes there's a, you know, a demon around every bush, and if my car didn't start, it's because, you know, the enemy's in the battery. Sometimes things in life just happen. But I also have been serving God long enough to know that if you do want to serve God and you do want to lead a generation and you do want to make a difference for the fame of Jesus in your lifetime, and if you do want to point people to the things that matter, then you are going to have an uphill journey. And there's going to be a lot of hardship and a lot of strife. And you say, well, why is that? Well, it's because there's a war going on spiritually. And this world is falling apart and this world is on a downhill slide. And the kingdom of God is emerging, and the kingdom of God is going to triumph and prevail. But Jesus went through the same struggle and worse than any of us will ever go through. And every one of these men that I read about in this book had hardship and struggle and difficulty, sacrifice, loss, and trials in their life. Every single one of them did. Paul, I'm looking down at Colossians 1 right now, and I haven't been through anything like Paul's been through. I felt a little bit like I'd been left for dead at Hoag Memorial, but it wasn't because I'd been stoned for preaching the gospel. It wasn't because I'd been beat up for preaching the gospel like he had on multiple occasions. And I just think we got to remember that today, and it's just a little encouragement. We're going to jump to Tulsa in this Crowder interview, but before we get there, I just want to bring a little bit of encouragement to all of us, because some of you are sitting out there going, "Louie, I'm at this church, and I'm trying to lead this college ministry, or we're trying to get a Bible study going on the campus, or I'm trying to get some of my classmates involved in this thing, and it's just hard, and nothing's working, and it seems like everything's working against us, and I feel like I want to quit, and sometimes we just want to pack it up and, you know, go to Hawaii and forget about the whole thing." And you need to know that you're not alone with those kinds of thoughts, that everybody has those kind of thoughts, and everybody struggles to stay in this thing called following Jesus and leading other people to do the same. And I was thinking this morning about Colossians 1, and this is one of the pivotal passages for my whole lifetime. And it centers around this mystery thing, which we've talked about a lot. But it says this, kind of coming down to the end of Colossians 1. It says, "The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the saints. And that's not these people that are painted on the wall of a church. That's you and me. That's the holy ones that Colossians calls us in the first two verses, people that Jesus has made righteous, the saints. This whole mystery has now been disclosed to us. To them, that's us, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. So here's two times now he says, it's been a mystery, but now it's clear. It's been foggy to people and unknown to people, but now it's clear to everyone. And he says, and here is the mystery. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's a powerful thing in and of itself, and we've done whole series on that around here. It's not Christ and you, the hope of glory. So it's not you and Jesus, this great, powerful tag team duo, this the hope of glory. It's Christ in you. It's you and me dying to our self-energy, to our self-effort, to our self-trying, to our self-sufficiency, and letting Christ emerge in us with the very life that is never going to end. But then Paul comes around and puts it all in balance, because that sounds nice and spiritual, and oh yeah, that sounds great, Christ is just going to live in me. But then he comes back and puts it in real clear focus in the last verse, and he says, we proclaim Jesus. I mean, obviously that's what we would do if the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we would just keep talking about Jesus and talking about his life and his power inside of us. But he says, so we proclaim Jesus, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And then he closes this first chapter with this verse, to this end I labor. And I love that, because I think a lot of us are thinking, I want to serve God, I want to go to some unreached people group, I want to go to India, I want to start something on my campus, but I don't know if you're really signing on for labor, you know, to work, to pour out energy, to invest all of your resources, to be tired at the end of the day. But that's what Paul says, to this end I labor. And then he describes his labor, struggling, he even says. And so I don't know, before I finish it, you might be thinking, wait a minute, I thought it was Christ in you, the hope of glory. I thought there was a new mystery and it's God doing this in you and we can't do it, but he does it. Then Paul says in the very next sentence, to this end I labor and I'm struggling. But listen to the way he says it. I labor and I'm struggling with all of Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in me. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And that's where we've been. And that's where some of you are right now. And I just want to encourage you in that. Keep laboring and keep struggling. It is a labor and it is a struggle. And so if you're going, I feel like I'm just laboring, that's a good thing. I feel like we're just struggling over everything, that's a good thing. But it depends on whether you're struggling at the end of the day with your energy or with his energy. And he says, we're laboring, we're going for it, we're giving everything we've got. We're struggling, man. We're really grappling with this opportunity that's before us. But we're doing that with all of the energy and the power of Christ, which powerfully works in us. And there was a song that I used to love 25 years ago, before most of you listening to this were born. And it stuck with me in almost every tour night. Chris is introducing me, and I'm right on the back of the stage, and I'm getting ready to walk out and give this talk again for the, you know, 45th, 46th, 47th, 48th time. And this little verse from this song, I would just pray it as a prayer in my heart, and it was, Holy Spirit, fill me up, gently overflow my cup, touch my eyes and let me see me and you, in you and me. And I've been praying that prayer all my whole life of ministry. I've been praying that prayer. I pray it sometimes right in my car. I pray it going into conversations. I pray it going into meetings. I pray it going into countries. I pray it going into passion. I pray it walking up onto stages. I pray it when I'm sitting down to prepare things. And it's just that recognition that I'm about to go and speak my literal guts out. I'm about to go up here with my, you know, broken down, kidney stone, still not right body, and give everything I've got to try to grab these 3,000, 2,000, 4,000 people who honestly came to see Chris Tomlin, and I got to somehow drop this God moment in here, and that requires every single bit of what I can bring to the equation. And to be right in the moment of breathing out the last breath before walking to do that and say, Holy Spirit, fill me up. and gently overflow my cup. Touch my eyes and let me see that it's me and you and me. And that's just a recognition of saying, I'm about to go do it. But when I do it, I'm doing it trusting, depending on, relying on your power, your energy, which is at work in me. So it's both in. And I pray that over this weekend, there'll be lots of rest. But even at the end of this rest, it's going to be a lot more labor, a lot more journey, a lot more energy's got to be invested for us to win this generation for the fame of God. And so let's do it and give everything we've got, but let's do it in His power so at the end of the day, people get more than us. And at the end of the day, we're still standing, not because of our energy, but because of His in us. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for praying for us, praying for the Crowders, praying for Shelley, praying for the Six Steps team, praying for all the Tomlin crew that was out with us, for Chris, myself. A lot of you guys don't just listen to these podcasts, but you really feel like you're a part of this movement. And you pray for us like crazy, and you send us notes, and you encourage us, you message us, you email us. And I just want to say thank you for that. And we made it out to Tulsa. By the way, the Tabernacle night, I forgot to say this, and I'm going to be in big trouble, Jonathan, if I don't. But came out of the Tabernacle with Crowder late after the whole meet and greet thing was over, and there was a little clump of maybe 25 college students standing there. And it was cold that night, and so they'd been out there for over an hour after the deal ended, and they're freezing cold, but they're standing out by Crowder's bus and by the bicycle rack hoping, you know, to see Crowder come out. So out comes Crowder, and they are all excited and starting to get a chance to say hi to him. And a few of them yelled for me, and I went over and started talking to him. And we ended up taking a picture that's on our blog, by the way. If you guys don't know, your picture is on the blog. That's you taking on my BlackBerry, not so great, one half of a pixel camera. So if you're wondering what's going on, that's why you look fuzzy. But anyway, it was really, really cool. And I got to talk to some really cool kids out there. And they said, will you please, please put us on the podcast? And so, you know, I said, no, I can't put you on the podcast and except for a small fee. So they all paid $10 to get on the podcast, which is the going rate now. No more free podcast shout outs, okay? All the money is going to go to our World Tour Fund. Only kidding. Yes, I said, we'll put you on the podcast. So I don't know who they are, but they were students from Gainesville State, here our neighbor to the north in lovely Georgia, and some students from Clemson who'd come down. I thought they were together, but they didn't know each other, but they met each other. So to the new friends from Clemson and Gainesville State, from the bicycle rack out by the Crowder bus at the Tabernacle Friday night in the cold after an hour. Hello, and a shout out to you all from the Passion Podcast. I was on Crowder's bus after Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa. We were just talking about that night, some of the nights they'd experienced up to then, and the Remedy Tour as a whole. And so here we are, me and Crowder and a few other people roaming onto the bus late in Tulsa a few Friday nights ago.
Hey guys, we're
you'll figure out what it is.
Just breaking in for a minute or two on the Crowder bus.
Ah, look out.
Look out, from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Good times going on.
The Remedy Tour landed in Tulsa.
Kane's Ballroom, historic.
At the historic Kane's Ballroom. There wasn't any ballroom dancing tonight, but man, there was a lot of energy in the room. It's been about a month or so since we talked. You were standing out of doors, sweating your
it was in
self
the Carolinas
almost to death.
Yes,
but now the tour is like, gosh, the first big run is over. And
do you remember the names of the people that we met there?
I do remember that they were from Coastal Carolina University.
Do you know names coming to mind?
No names.
Oh, they're probably tuning in right now.
Isn't that sad? Yeah.
But
you remember them.
I picture
all,
the face.
So.
Yeah, we shared a little pizza moment. Yeah,
the pizza.
There you go. Pizza moment.
Was it Coastal Carolina?
That doesn't sound familiar.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, well.
So
something like that.
Yeah, we don't want to offend them.
No. So. They were good people.
So we'll just say, hey, we're dropping in on the David Crowder tour bus here tonight. The Remedy Tour has landed in Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is pretty exciting.
Kane's Ballroom, here
Kane's
we are.
Kane's Ballroom. Mike Hogan has just come on the bus and wonders if this is a private conversation.
Come
or
on
not.
In, Mike.
And it is. So
this is.
You're welcome to come by, though.
Yeah. This is for the World Wide Web, Mike.
Absolutely. But it's been about a month or maybe more, maybe 2 months, since we had a little conversation about Remedy coming out. And
yeah.
You were standing out in 108 degree weather,
sweating
profusely. Wow, that's pretty amazing. But now the tour is rolling, and you made it all the way to Tulsa, and you guys have a little bit of a break before you get going again. And
yeah.
Amazing?
It's been amazing. Yeah, we're how many dates in do you think we are? Good bit in. Maybe
a fair amount of the tour book looks like it's been...
probably over halfway at this point.
Yeah, we were going down the list today, and you were telling me that it would be impossible to pick a favorite city so far because they've all just been incredible.
It's been amazing. And just fun rooms. Fun rooms like this. I think I'm figuring out the... Because Canes is old, you know? It's been around for a good while.
And it has. We were just in the office checking out the Wall of Fame and... all the legends that have been here, and there was the place where...
Sid Vicious had punched a hole in the wall, and when they did the remodel, they cut out the place where he punched the wall. It's framed now. They have framed where Sid Vicious punched the wall. And, you know, it's like a couple of months after he was there that he,
that's
you know,
crazy.
Left us.
Yeah, probably a lot of the folks in our audience don't know who Sid Vicious is because he came and went before they were born. But
that's true.
He revolutionized music. Wasn't for him,
it's
we
crazy.
Might not have any
crazy
David Crowder Punk song.
Might not have happened.
Yeah. Might not have been there.
Thank goodness he punched that wall, man. Got a lot of angst.
Anyway, this was the Canes Ballroom.
Yes.
So we didn't do any ballroom dancing tonight.
No.
That was a disappointment.
There's a rowdy bunch, though.
It was a good crowd. I haven't seen the rest of them, but this one was going for it.
Yeah, they
really
were
cool.
They were wound up. It was a cool night. Some technical issues, but that's to be expected with the Crowder Band. We rarely get out clean, and tonight was no exception.
Yeah.
It was great.
So you guys have been Southwest, West Coast, Northwest, been through Boise, Idaho.
Boise, man. Which... Boise was amazing.
Was it really
cool? It was
cool?
Absolutely amazing. Yeah, we were at this little club called the Big Easy, and just as, you know, dingy. In fact, we were the night before we were in Spokane, and the people there go, "Where y'all headed?" And we said, "Boys at the Big Easy." And they go, "Oh, no. You're not going to the Big Easy, are you?" We're like, "We're going to the Big Easy." They're just like, "Oh, that place is, you know, man, it's rough." It was not rough, and it was beautiful. We had a great night.
Boys, what are like? Were they, did they come,
they're a bunch of mountain people, man. They look like they came down from the mountains in their North Face and their scraggly beards and their boots. It was good. It was good. Talking to people afterwards, this guy, it's like, man, I've been kicking cows all day. I got dressed
no
up
way.
To come in.
No way.
And he had his chucks on. He's like, "I don't get to wear these every day, man. I had to put my chucks on for the night." It was great.
So every night's been incredible, and obviously they're all amazing, but what are a couple of the ones that stand out just when you think about it?
Fillmore in San Francisco is got to be up there towards the top. It was, I just, you know, when we were talking before the thing started, talking about getting in spaces with people that might not frequent those spaces a lot, you know, and getting church folks out of the church, I guess, more than anything, with carrying this, I guess, the thematic content of Remedy being what it is, trying to show that the story of God is for the sick, it's for the broken, it's for the people who need it, and it seems like if you're going to tell that story, can't pick a better setting than a place like the film. San Francisco, you know, the things that have unfolded in that room, and then to have a bunch of people get together and just start singing to God in the middle of that space just provides a physical metaphor for what we're trying to say and what we're trying to do, and to let people experience that firsthand was just, oh, perfect. We got Tony, my wife, was talking to a couple who had brought some friends that had never been to church with them. They've been friends for ages, and just can't get them to come to church, etc. And they were like, "Well, heck yes, we'll come to the Fillmore. We go to the Fillmore all the time, see shows."
That's cool.
And just for them to be able to see their friends that have been talking about this faith that they carry respond to God with this gift of music, it's just, I think that says more than any set of propositions or, you know, systematic theology we could present to somebody. Just to see somebody experience God and the awareness of the reality that we live in is, I think, just about the most powerful expression of the story of God we can come up with. And we've just seen that night after night after night in all these spaces that you wouldn't suspect that would unfold in. So it's been perfect, man, just perfect.
The musical part tonight was just incredible, just beginning to end. I mean, not just you guys, but...
Pre-show music.
The pre-show music was phenomenal.
The playlist of songs we have while people are walking
the
in.
The Myriad, man, they were incredible.
Dude, those guys
were ridiculous. That's the first time I heard them, and they were incredible. Phil was amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys' set was just, it was everything, man. It was like perfect rhythm of the old stuff, new stuff, and just at the right moment, you weren't sure what was coming, and it was exactly what you wanted to hear right when it came. And it was,
that's cool.
Musically, obviously, it's always amazing, but you're carrying more than that on this tour, and you're trying to really set an idea in the hearts of people that maybe could awaken them to something more than just songs.
Yeah, that's been, I think Mike Hogan, our violinist, at some point, it's about maybe the third date in, and we were sitting on the bus after one of the shows, and it was actually the Houston deal. You know, we had just heard this deal, the towels and socks thing, and it's just been amazing. People are showing up with these, you know, and stand in line before the deal starts.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, it's just
something
gorgeous.
Small. Tell everybody what you shared tonight about the thing in Houston.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you're
on? Yeah,
the
I was going
to
get
right
to.
Now?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're in Houston, and we had just actually a guy from Six Steps' office, Mike McCloskey, was out during that time, and he had come in and told us, man, there's this huge pile of socks and towels. It's just monstrous, you know. So we're getting the updates as it's kind of collecting. Well, then after the evening, he says, so these two guys from that were at, because each night the towels and socks go to a local shelter, and he said that there were two guys that were actually staying at the shelter that night that came with the people to pick up the towels and socks. And he said these two grown men walk in this deal, you know, they're just coming to the concert, you know, to pick some stuff up that these people, you know, dropped off for them or something. They don't know what they're getting into. And they come in and they see this big pile of towels and socks, and these two grown men start weeping, just wow. crying. Over a pile of towels and socks, and just because they don't know where to put that. You know, why in the world would a bunch of people coming to consume a night of music care what in the world is going on back at the homeless shelter? They didn't know what to do with it. And yeah, that's just the most beautiful thing ever. And to take again these ideas, these sets of our faith, turning it more to something physical, tangible, real. It's amazing to see something so simple mean something. So incredible. So, and Hogan, after the deal's over, we're hearing this stuff, and he goes, man, this feels significant, you know? And we've been doing this for a good number of years now. It feels like 6 or 7 years we've been out and about on the road, and to have him look across and go, this feels worth going out and about, you know, to see the kingdom of God come in a real material, tangible way is just, and who knew, from through a pile of towels and socks, no less. It's just crazy.
Nobody is gonna have to file bankruptcy probably
because of chipping in.
Brought
yeah.
some towels and socks,
totally.
But two grown men are crying, and who knows when the last time they were moved like that?
No,
you know,
kid.
By something that really wasn't a massive earth-shaking thing. Yeah. It was just a small gesture of kindness, which is really what God, you know, is all about. This podcast, you know, has been a lot of towels and socks, even since Passion coming out of that. We're sort of carrying that in the regionals, and you guys are carrying that all the way on the Remedy Tour. And I think people probably are thinking, what in the world is going on with the towels and
socks
thing?
So
but,
beautiful.
You know, I was saying to somebody the other day that Boston and Chicago, these two regional things we did in the last couple of weekends, the whole climate changed because of this Do Something Now thing. And it changed the landscape of the weekend. And talks were great, music was great, all the normal stuff you would expect when you come to one of these deals was what you would want. Mm-hmm. But the climate changed, I think, when our hearts start to turn towards this idea that, you know what, God wants us to be engaged and to be his expression to the world. And that is significant. And I'm with Hogan about that. It does take the stuff that we carry, and all of a sudden you start feeling God smiling, you know. And I think that's what somebody said, what was it that was so different about those deals? I said, I think it was just God smiling, and when he did that, that's what made the difference in the room, you know. It's his sense of going, wow, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah
It's been cool. So you guys are going to take a few days off?
Yeah, headed back to the lovely Waco, Texas.
Yeah. Mike, what are you going to do when you get back to Waco? What's the main thing besides...
You told me the other day what you were
going to
do.
I'm curious. I don't know what I told you.
It required, the turkey sandwich.
Oh.
So here it goes, right here.
I'm going to make a turkey sandwich, and it's going to involve some whole wheat bread, some nice
You're
deli
going to make
turkey.
This at the house.
I am. Some baby leaf spinach, some Colby Jack cheese. I'm going to toast the bread and put a little mayonnaise, Not Miracle Whip, because it's got too many additives.
Yeah.
We'll put it together, and I'm going to make a sandwich that's mine. And then my mom's coming in to celebrate her birthday with me in Waco. Never mind that I haven't seen my wife in a month. Yeah. So those are the first two things that are going to happen.
And are they getting the sandwiches or just you?
The sandwich is all me. Selfish.
Yeah, it's all about
you.
It's
going to be glorious and delicious.
Cool. We'll have to get an update on that somewhere down the road.
I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, if you could send a photo, that way, I'm sure people would be really excited about that. Miracle Whip. We want to make that clear.
No.
We're going straight from mayonnaise.
Straight mayo.
That's what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
Well, I hope the break's great, and you guys go to davidcrowderband.com or somewhere you can find out what the dates are that are coming up. And Atlanta, sadly, sold out. I've been getting all these people in Atlanta. They're like, dude, you got to get me tickets, man. You got to get me in the Tabernacle. And I'm like, I can't help you. I'm sorry. And they're like, surely you can do something. And as soon as I start thinking about it, the wrath of Shelley kind of rises up. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I can't do anything.
She'll shut you down.
You remember that time we were in D.C. on tour somehow doing something at Georgetown, and you and I let a bunch of people in the back door or something like that, and we got some serious trouble, man.
You mess up quick.
We really did. It was like, come on, just come in the back. Yeah, we don't care. Yeah. Sit on the side of the stage. And looked over there at between the curtains, and there was about 20 kids just sitting on the floor over there. But they had driven hours to get there.
Yeah, it wasn't a good scene.
So
they'd have been upset with us.
Yeah, so if you can't get a ticket to the Tabernacle, what I'm saying is, come to Raleigh. Yeah, come to Raleigh. That's exactly right.
You need to come to Raleigh, North Carolina. That's where we need you.
Absolutely.
Come on.
In fact, if you're coming to the Tabernacle, come to Raleigh.
Come to Raleigh as well.
If you live in...
Because Raleigh's going to be the best... And if you're not there, you're going to miss
it all.
Everything is built to that moment.
West Virginia, North or South Carolina, Eastern Tennessee, Georgia, Florida,
Florida, you need to come to Orlando.
That's true.
Right. Orlando or Raleigh, that's what we're saying. I feel like those are going to be really special nights.
Well, we've both of those cities kind of written that whole evening around.
That's what you guys were thinking, actually, when you put the tour together.
Was Raleigh and Orlando.
Incredible. In fact, if you're in some of the Western European countries that are close to the United States, those would be your cities to come to.
Orlando would make a great destination spot. Raleigh, too. Yeah. There's a lot to do in Raleigh outside of just, you know,
the
DCB concert.
Well, you've got the whole Raleigh-Durham, Chapel Hill
triangle.
Yeah, it's a
little triangle going. There's a lot to see, a lot to do.
Disney World or Indy Rock. One of the two. That's it.
Well, we're going to wrap up. These guys got to go home.
Bus pointed south.
Yeah, it was incredible night, though, and thanks for being with us.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Wow, that was a great night. I mean, it was incredible. Yeah, all the nights are in their own way amazing, and every one of them is different. One of the real surprises for us was in Evansville, Indiana, and we always find surprises in Indiana. Last time on the How Great Is Our God tour, it was Fort Wayne, and I think that was the night that the promoter thought it's Sunday night. No one wants to come late, so we're going to do a 4 o'clock show. And we were like, oh, fantastic idea. 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon. The Fort Wayne Convention Center, this should really be special. And like 4,000 people showed up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a really, really amazing night. But we went to Evansville, and the same kind of thing happened, and lots of people showing up at this place called The Center in Evansville, which apparently is one of the top 25 venues in America to see a concert at. Who knew? Right in Evansville. Beautiful theater. And we get there, and really quickly, I mean, this was just blew my mind, but you just never know how God is working, and it just reminds me to never count God out. But Chris was having a conversation with someone in the backstage as we were there in the afternoon, and I didn't know who he was talking to, and I'd passed by a few times, and finally he called me over. He said, hey, you need to hear this conversation. This is Tony, and Tony's the promoter for tonight, and Tony was just telling me this story. He says, Tony, tell Louie what you were telling me. Well, long story short, and Tony, God bless his heart, he's been through a really hard year and lost his wife in an accident, has been through some health challenges, and just really hard stuff, but just such a great heart for God, you could tell. And he said, well, you know, a friend of mine from Atlanta sent me your book a few months ago, and he said, honestly, I have to say that it just sat on my coffee table for a while. But it was I Am Not, But I Know I Am, but The Air I Breathe. Just sent him a copy of The Air I Breathe, and she felt like the Lord wanted to encourage him with that book. And so he said, it's just been sitting on my table and been there for a month. And one morning I woke up in the night. I think he said he woke up like at 1 or 3 in the morning, And I knew when I woke up that God wanted me to read that book. And so I went, got up, got the book, read the whole book. And I think he said he finished reading it like at 5 a.m., so he must have started at 3, because it doesn't take 4 hours to read The Air I Breathe. And he said, I finished reading it at 5 o'clock, and it was like my heart was on fire inside my chest, and God was just doing so much in my life. And he said, and I just want as many people as possible to read the book. And so the next day or the 2 days later, he called the bookstore in Evansville and says, I need to get 50 copies of The Air I Breathe. The guy says, okay, fine. So they work out a price. He buys the 50 copies. And he starts calling youth pastors in Evansville. And he says, I want teenagers and middle school kids, high school kids to read this book. And so I'll give 2 tickets to the How Great Is Our God night to any student who will read the book and write a report on it. And I was just like, that's an amazing story. And then he produces this manila envelope. And he hands me, and I open it up, and all these pieces of paper in it. And, I mean, I've never been a school teacher before, but I'm kind of getting a picture of what that looks like right now, because there's some pieces of paper in here that look like they were dragged to the venue behind the family car. There are others that, you know, these are the guys that are going to be running, you know, Microsoft and the other Fortune 500 companies. There's one in here that is typed very well. This is, would you say that's Eli or Ellie or... Eli. Yeah, so that's Eli Helmer. So bless you, Eli, if you ever hear this. You're going to do something great in life. His is typed, really nice font, nice printer paper, stapled on the side. I mean, then, you know, next door we've got one that's, you know, looks like I wrote it, but worse, and that's a lot. That's saying a lot. And you know, just not really sure what's going on. And I lost the one I was going to read. Oh, here it is. But anyway, so he says, here they are. I thought you might want to read them. And I mean, by now, my heart is about to blow up. I literally go back to my dressing room and sit down and start reading these reports from these middle school and high school kids. And I'd read them all to you if I had time. I almost wanted to do a reader's report podcast and read every one of these to you, because some of them are hysterical. But some of them are really actually on the point, and most of them say it was a really great book. So why wouldn't I want to read those over and over? This guy ends his by saying, I'm going to try to look for more Louis Giglio books. And I'm like, well, good luck. There's only one more, so you don't have too far to go there. But it was really encouraging. And so he says, so you'll look up there at the second balcony, and that whole first row of people up there will be 100 kids who came free tonight because they wrote these reports. And he said, I challenged every one of them to bring a friend who'd never been to anything like this before. So you come, but bring somebody from your school that really maybe doesn't know anything about God or what Christ is doing in the world and just needs to hear this story and see people worshiping like this. And so it's really, really cool. So I just want to read part of this one. This is from David, and this one's been through it. If you could see what I'm holding in my hand right now, it's pretty amazing that this one actually made it here. And I'm having a hard time reading it because it doesn't all fit together anymore. But he gets it. He says, worship is our response to God. This is the way I would have written a report. You go right to the thesis of the book and copy that in the first sentence, right? Worship is our response to God, both personal and corporate, for who he is and what he's done. And he doesn't get the last part, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live, but he gets that part. That's one of the many things I learned from reading The Air I Breathe. It taught me that whether we like it or not, we all worship something. Now that's right on right there. So David nailed that part. It also taught me ways to get closer to God. For example, you can read in the book of Psalms each night for a month and write down attributes of God that catch your eye. And I'm like, exactly. So he got the little 30-day journey thing. He talks about a little bit later in here that coming to church, we got to be ready to bring worship to God, not just show up. And then he talks about how God knows he's worthy of worship, but he really wants our worship, and he doesn't want to be ignored. And it's really cool. And then at the end he says, the air I breathe taught me much about worship that I never knew. So that was from David, and really, really encouraging. And then I like this one over here, because this is from Madison Bivens, and Madison went ahead and typed hers out. So that's kind of the antithesis of David's over here. I can read it. But toward the end, I like this, because she says, I wrote this book a while back, and I wrote it as simply as I could, and I wrote it so that a high school kid could pick it up and read it and go, I understand this and I got something out of it. Because honestly, if a high school kid can understand it, adults can understand it. And sometimes we want big, long chapters and we want to talk about things forever and ever and ever. And the whole point of The Air I Breathe was that this isn't that complicated. It is profound and challenging, though. And she got that. She said, this book seemed to be written just for young adults like me, even though it may not have been. It didn't ramble on using big, hard-to-understand words that only an adult would understand. It was straight to the point. It made sense without all the hard-to-understand language. I especially like that about the book, because Jesus specifically told us in the Bible not to use big, huge church words to worship God or pray to Him. I like this book very much, and I felt I had many connections to it. So that was really, really cool. And I wish I could read all these, but Tony, you are a rock star, man. I mean, I left the night thinking, you know, this guy is the real deal, you know, and he is influencing people. He's been through a really hard time, and he and his kids have been through a really rough year, but here he's reaching out to these 50 kids and making a way for them to be a part of this night, and it was really, really special. So way to go. That made Evansville a really cool night. And every time you look up on the balcony, you're looking up at 100 faces and you're like, that's really, really cool to think about where those kids came from. So the feedback that you guys give us is incredible. A couple of quick stories before we wrap up today. And I want to make sure you West Coast LA type people make it to the end of the podcast today. But a couple quick stories. Just want to give you some feedback from Chicago and Boston, which is still rolling in. And really, really amazing. But this came from a student, which I really liked. And there's been a little bit of a follow-up to this now because it came a few weeks ago. But check it out. She says, first of all, I want to thank you all and the Passion team for putting on the Passion conferences. I was at the Chicago one this past weekend and not only came away with no voice, but also came away being challenged to live a life so that others can see that God is moving me. And they come to fear Him and put their trust in Him. That's from Psalm 40, and that was from our opening. I'm a resident assistant and student at Trinity International University, and I just wanted to share with you that this coming Saturday, October 27th, I'm taking my suite of girls and our brother Floor down to Chicago to hand out sack lunches to the various homeless people we see along the streets. I'm sharing this with you because it's been on my heart for a while to do something like this. And after being at Passion this weekend, I was really challenged to carry this out. I also share this with you because I hope that you can support me and my girls as we hand out these lunches and hopefully are able to share the gospel and how God can satisfy all hunger. I don't even know if Louis himself will be getting this, but I did just want to thank you for your challenge, and I hope that you will join me in praying for this upcoming service. And so I got this a little bit after the 27th, but I messaged her back and asked her how it went. She says, unbelievable. She said, here we are down there, and these guys and women just see us coming with these lunches, and their faces light up, and they got to have great conversations with them. But it was just mostly about extending the kingdom, and it's that do something now thing. We did the Wells, but then to see these guys take it a step further and actually extend the grace of God and the compassion of God's heart to these homeless people in Chicago was really, really cool. So that was cool. And then we got this one from Ryan. It says, my name is Ryan. I was rocked through the ways God used you last weekend in Chicago! Thank you so much for being open to the call of Christ. My best friend and I, and this is pretty interesting, annually have a joint birthday party. You have any joint birthday parties or any joint celebrations? Occasionally you're nodding like you do. My friend and I have a joint birthday party, which usually musters up about 50 people. So I'd say that's pretty strong, you know, joint birthday party. After we attended Passion in Chicago, we wanted to do something a little different this year. We're going to have a donation bucket and ask all our friends there to donate to the World Tour Project. And I think when he said the World Tour Project, I'm not sure if he meant our World Tour. I think maybe he did mean to the World Tour, so that's cool. I was thinking I got this confused with another one about the Bloodwater deal and drilling wells, but I think he's wanting to donate to the World Tour. So we want to donate to the World Tour as a blessing for our birthdays and also as a blessing to God in the pursuit of the advancement of His kingdom. The problem, I looked all over the 268 website and I found nothing as far as donating to that portion of the ministry. 2,600 people donated some $32,000 in Chicago for it. I'm not sure if that was the exact number, but it was a big number. and our small circle of friends would like to continue and grow that gift. Please let me know how and where to do that. Thank you, Louis. I mean, quote, Mr. Giglio, smiley face, God bless. And so thank you, Ryan. And he also says at the end, you're prayed for. So just a small thing here, and we don't do a lot of fundraising, as you know, but if you go to the 268generation.com site, click on About. There are three categories there, Events, About, and Delve. If you click on About, I think right under there in the drop-down is a little box that says Donate. And once you click into Donate, you can either donate generally to Passion or specifically to the Passion World Tour. So I sent that email back to you, Ryan, so I'm hoping you got it. You may or may not be listening to this, but if anybody is out there and you want to follow suit with that, that would be really incredible, and we would love it. And then lastly, I share one more of these with you. I got the chance to meet this guy in Charlotte at the How Great Is Our God tour the other night on Tuesday. But this is the group, the Furman people. Remember them? The luggage flying out of the airplane, and they stayed downtown and caught two trains and a bus and a cab to get out to where we were meeting. Well, we get this email, and it says, to Louie and the Passion Gang, I'm the baseball player from Furman University that met some of your team en route to Atlanta after the Passion Regional in Chicago. First, I want to say thank you. Passion completely reshaped my faith. That's a pretty massive statement right there. The crazy thing was that I didn't even know about Passion until 2 weeks before the event. But as always, God had a plan. The Holy Spirit started convicting me about 2 months prior to Passion Chicago and started chipping away and cracking the pot that was my faith. And then Friday night, God completely shattered my pot and spent all day Saturday putting the pieces of my faith back together again and turning it into His pot and shaping it the way He wanted me to be. I say all this to say that God is working through you in the Passion group. Keep praying and running the race with patience. Also, throughout the weekend, you drove home the fact that we, the students, can't let Passion be just a great experience, and we have to carry this fire back to our campuses and share the light. I wanted to let you know that several students here at Furman have organized Overflow, 24 hours of prayer and worship. I really feel that God is about to break out at Furman, and I know that He's going to use Overflow to change people's hearts. Overflow is this coming weekend, so this has already happened now. This was back in the first part of November. And I'm sure that revival is near. And then he quotes, greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. I just want to let you know that God's moving at Furman. God bless. And so he told me a little bit when I saw him the other day that it went really amazingly well. They rented out a room on campus, and students just came all through the 24 hours to pray. And that's where it all begins. So thanks for the follow-up, and thanks for the feedback on what's going on there. There are dozens and dozens of other comments that either come through on Facebook, come through on our guest book, emails that are sent to us. And that's the stuff. You know, Boston is over, Chicago's over, but God's still working. And that's really what it's all about, to see the fruit of that, the ripples of it, the seeds that were sown in these guys' lives and on these campuses and lives of people, homeless people in Chicago. It's really, really cool. So thank you guys for the feedback. And just to let everybody know that Dallas and LA are coming fast. So that's just a little thing to help you know that, you know, the end of the year is coming quickly, and then LA is going to be there before you know it. Dallas right behind it. So if you are in Los Angeles, by the way, and you're hearing this podcast over Thanksgiving weekend, if you're hearing it a few weeks later, you can just ignore this. But if you're hearing it over Thanksgiving weekend and you're in Orange County or LA County or in greater LA, and you'd like to come and hang out with us next Tuesday, this is the Tuesday following Thanksgiving, we're going to be doing a Passion LA kind of vision casting meeting around mid-morning to lunchtime at Staples Center, which is next door to where we're going to be meeting at the LA Live, the Nokia at Nokia Theater at LA Live. Jonathan's telling me I hadn't gotten that right yet. But right next door to that is Staples, and somewhere in Staples we're going to be doing just a vision casting thing. I think maybe 50, 60 college leaders from around the area are coming already. But maybe you're out there in LA. I don't know if anybody in California listens to the podcast or not. But if you are out there, you're in LA, you're a college leader, you're a small group leader, you're, you know, Bible study leader, campus leader, leader in your church's college ministry, and you just want to come and hear more about what's going to be happening at Passion LA, meet up with us. I'll be there. Some of our Passion team will be there. And you can email to this address and say to somebody over the weekend, and you need to do that really quickly, obviously before Tuesday, hey, this is me. I just found out about this from the podcast. I want to come. Send it to regionalsusa@268generation.com. That's regionals, plural, USA, all one word, at 268generation.com. And let us know who you are. We'd love for you to come and hang out with us in LA as we're getting ready for what's going to be a really, really great weekend there. So it's going to be a fast-paced spring. LA's coming quick, then Dallas, D.C. Before long, we'll be in Atlanta. And then we're off to the world tour. And so I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. Our plan is to come back after Thanksgiving and do an updated world tour podcast to let you know what's going on. By the way, if you're listening to the podcast and you're in London, same deal. We'll be in London in a couple of weeks doing a vision casting time there at the venue we're going to be meeting in. And so you could email, I guess, to this same deal, and we'll try to route you through to the world tour crew. But we'll be in London. Let's see. Today is, well, it doesn't matter what day today is because you're listening to this on who knows what day you're listening to it, but it's almost Thanksgiving. So the Friday after Thanksgiving, whatever day that is, and you guys in England don't even know what Thanksgiving is. So, man, you're all confused right now. See, the pilgrims left out from England and came to establish a free country here in America. The New World is what they called it. And that is what we're celebrating. So we've broken free, Matt, from all of you Brits and established this great country over here. And so we're celebrating that Thursday. And so it's the 30th is the date for you Brits that don't know what Thanksgiving's all about. And I'm only kidding. Somebody, don't email us from England, okay? We are happy that we've made our own country, but we love your country as well and view ourselves as friends and neighbors and partners in this great world. It is the 30th of November. That's the Friday after Thanksgiving. And somewhere in London that day, we'll be having a vision casting time with collegiate leaders from all over London and some from various places in Great Britain. So if you'd like to join us for that, shoot an email to this same address. It's not the right email address, but we'll route it to our London team. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. If you're a collegiate ministry leader, a campus leader, a small group Bible study leader, you're working in a church with college students or focused on the university students, and you want to help us kind of get some lift for our London Passion event, which is coming pretty quickly on the first leg of the tour, we'll be there. So I'll be there as well, be leaving London and headed to Paris, going to be looking at a venue there, and then home for Christmas. So we've got quite a few journeys to go. Part of our team's going to be headed back to Uganda after Thanksgiving as well. So we got a lot of stuff coming up. But let us know if you're in LA or London and want to be a part of either one of those meetings. Otherwise, we'll be back with a podcast updating you on the world tour and all the things that we are seeing God do. And lastly, just really quickly, to pray for us, because by the time you hear the next podcast, we will be on our way to finishing up the Passion album. And this baseball player from Furman mentions that at the end of his thing, greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. And I would dare say that's been prayed or spoken thousands and thousands of times over campuses and over cities since we left Boston and Chicago. That is the working title of the new Passion CD. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that out loud or not, but I guess that's subject to change. So a little footnote there, but that's the title as of now, Passion. God of this city is the title of the Passion CD that's going to come out, Lord willing, in January, and we're finishing it up and hurrying to the finish line to get everything ready. So please pray for that process and pray for us as we're working on that in the next couple of weeks. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the turkey. Hug your grandma, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, all the people that you're going to get to see. Have an incredible time. Rest, be thankful, remember, and then get back to it, whatever it is God's put in front of you, with all your energy, with all your might, according to His power, because that's what's mightily at work in us. And that's the gospel, and that's the greatest thing I've got to be thankful for today, the fact that the Son of God somehow has taken up residence in this body of mine, in this life of mine, and He is the difference maker today, and He will be the difference maker every day, all the days of my life. So we'll see you back here with a new edition of the Passion Podcast soon. Take care, and once again, happy Thanksgiving.